morning, everyone. I'm going to quickly run through the size, the funding, the workforce issues, and some challenges and opportunities that the aged care sector is experiencing, not only in South Australia, but Australia today. Okay, a few slides to start with about the actual size and numbers involved in aged care in South Australia in particular. So you can see from the slide that the aged care sector is quite large in South Australia. We are the second oldest ageing state in the country after Tasmania. 126,000 older South Australians are currently receiving services from approved aged care providers. You can see the breakdown there. I won't run through all the numbers, but you can see there's over 21,000 people are in permanent residential care, just over seven in respite. And then the biggest program is the home support program, which is over 87,000. That's the old home and community care program. It's now called home support. The location and numbers of residential aged care homes, which are the nursing homes, there are, you can see from the slide, 246 aged care homes in South Australia, 154 in metro, 92 in country areas. The majority in South Australia are not-for-profit charities, particularly, and then in country SA, the state government still has a fairly large role to play in the provision of residential aged care. You can see the home support or the home care program is still is also large. 281 home care providers in Metro Adelaide and 148 in the country. And again, the vast majority of home care providers, this still is the domain of the not-for-profit and state government, particularly in the country where the state government's still providing services there. Expenditure. So it's a big industry in Australia and South Australia. So we have $20 billion is expected to be spent on aged care services this financial year across Australia. And in South Australia, there's the South Australian component is $1.6 billion. Residential care is obviously the largest cost at $1.2 billion from the government, that's the Australian government, and then the consumer's contribution is $312 million. Home care in South Australia is $384 million from government and then $3.5 million from consumers. So it is significant expenditure. This is an interesting slide that I hope I'll get an opportunity to take questions on later. The actual dollars. So the total revenue or funding per resident per day, this relates to residential aged care. The average across the country is $269 per day. So that's the total funding that an aged care provider gets for the full care of that resident per day. And it includes not just the care costs, but all of the infrastructure costs and all other operational costs for that resident per day. You can see that the vast majority, or 68%, comes from the Australian government at $184, and the resident themselves are paying 26%, or $70 a day, and other funding from usually investments and interest from our bonds is around $15 per day, or 6%. I'm not sure that the public is actually aware of the fact that we only receive $269 a day. I have put a little side bit there just to make a point that the cost per patient per day in an acute hospital bed in South Australia last quarter was $2,162 per day. Quite a difference. Workforce. So, just again, the scope of aged care. In South Australia, over 37,000 people currently work directly in aged care. We've got 1,600 of those at elder care. I think the active volunteers is an underestimate at 6,000. A lot of people volunteer just maybe 1 or 2 days every 6 months, but these are the ones that are regular active volunteers in the sector. There's no doubt that aged care is a growth industry in Australia and in South Australia. The Productivity Commission in 2011 predicted that 3.5 million Australians will be accessing aged care services by the year 2050, requiring a workforce of almost 1 million direct care workers. So these are the people that are the hands-on workers in aged care. I think the talk about impact of machines in aged care, we've said here that South Australia will need approximately 100,000 direct care workers. That's on the current staffing levels. Let's hope that we can increase our staffing in aged care. And I don't think we'll ever be completely replaced by machines. So those human factors, the skills that are needed for direct care and management of people are really critical in aged care. Whilst machines will do some of our work, there certainly will be a human need, a need for humans. Our growth estimates. So the medium level population growth estimates are that 81%, or an increase of 211,000 people, will occur in South Australia. That's the over 65 years of age from 2011 to 2041. So we'll go from 262,000 older people in South Australia to 473,000. So just on those numbers, and based on today's utilisation, which is really likely to be an underestimate, as the impact of dementia in particular is further realised, that 40% of those people will likely access some form of aged care, predominantly home care services, which will be nearly 200,000 people, and 11% are likely to access residential care. So that's over 50,000 South Australians by 2041 will need residential care. So the direct contribution to the South Australian economy, these again are estimates, you can see that the direct economic contribution of aged care in South Australia is estimated to be $1.4 billion, and the indirect economic contribution on top of that estimated at $414 million. I'll use elder care as an example. Over the last 4 years, we've spent over $55 million on building and construction. We have a policy that we always use South Australian architects, builders, South Australian engineers, South Australian landscapers, interior designers. We support local artists with all of our art. And wherever we can, we use South Australian products. It has a huge impact on the economy of South Australia. We're not alone in that. We know that our sister organisations and many other not-for-profits also have the same policies. So, challenges and opportunities. Where do we start? I think it's fair to say that the Royal Commission is having a huge impact on aged care at the moment. It's not a bad thing. I think we're seeing it as a very good thing, and we're hoping that the Royal Commission will have a huge impact on the future of aged care. Like any social reform or social policy change that has happened in Australia and around the world, it's required some form of social outrage. I think that's starting to happen. I think the community is finally getting interested in aged care and older people. And if it means that we have to suffer a couple of years of pain while the stories come out and particularly the painful stories for all of us, if it leads to significant change in policy and funding, then that's a good thing. So the sector in South Australia, certainly the not-for-profit sector, is seeing the Royal Commission as a very positive development. We're very supportive of it, and we hope, as I said, it will force genuine reform. But with that comes the obvious challenge to manage our reputations and to help keep the trust intact with the consumers. It's having a big impact on the morale of our aged care workers. It's devastating for them to hear the stories of aged care and what's happening in the sector. And when providers have failed, it makes us all feel that we've failed. In the end, we want the care and safety of our residents to be the primary factor that we're engaged in. The reaction of the Commission has been strong, the Quality and Aged Care Commission, which is now the new quality agency. The reaction of the Quality and Safety Aged Care Commission has been strong, and the compliance requirements have been far-reaching. The vast majority of providers and their staff are doing the right thing and doing the best they can with the resources that they have. So, as I said, we have to push on, get through the pain of the next couple of years, and hopefully it will see major reform. The next big issue for us is clearly consumer expectations. They're increasing. Baby boomers are going to be our next challenge. It's not just the numbers, but it's meeting their expectations. And we're already seeing that with the because the vast majority of people that choose an aged care service are the 50 to 60-year-old daughters. So we are dealing with them at the moment. Usually the resident or the aged care person, the receiving the services, is probably easy to meet their expectations. But standing here in that cohort, the 50 to 60-year-old daughters are not so easy to meet their expectations. It's complicated by complex family dynamics, often guilt, grief and loss, and the sector's really struggling to meet those expectations with the resources that we have. The perception is that aged care providers are making lots of money, and factually that's absolutely incorrect. Over 40% of residential aged care homes across Australia now make a loss. Elder care, we have an annual revenue of around $110 million. Elder care will make a loss this year. Last year we broke even. Luckily we have good reserves and a great balance sheet. Not all aged care providers are in that situation. The next issue, of course, is workforce. Currently, our staff, most of the staff in direct care, are unregulated, low-paid workers, really just receiving slightly above the minimum wage. Whilst we have a large cohort of professional staff in aged care, allied health, registered nurses, enrolled nurses, many other professionals in the support services like project managers, accountants, architects, all work in aged care, the vast majority are those low-paid, unregulated workers. Many of us only employ qualified staff, Certificate 3, but it's still a varying level of education for Certificate 3, and you generally need to retrain them when they come to work for you. There is a national project which is very promising around the aged care workforce strategy, and we are all hoping and are confident that that's going to bring some really good frameworks for us to work with in the future around the workforce for aged care. But none of us are really quite sure how we'll be able to meet the future workforce requirements so that we can meet the demand of the growing requirements for aged care. Next, funding model definitely needs to change. It's not possible or sustainable to provide high quality care and meet the increasing consumer expectations on $269 a day. There will need to be a greater contribution from consumers or taxpayers or both. It's just unsustainable at the moment. So we need to be really careful about how we manage the future of aged care. We've got increasing complexity. People are coming in that are requiring complex clinical care, palliative care. The dementia issue is just growing, and chronic diseases are also a big factor in the care of older people. We have to start thinking about new models of care, new ways of designing our infrastructure and buildings, and new ways of constructing our workforce. So in conclusion, aged care is here to stay, so we need to have community responsibility and for aged care, for caring for our older people. I think until we actually shift the social expectations and norms of how we feel about older people and what they deserve for their care for the future and what we're prepared to pay as a community to support that, I think it's not going to change. So hopefully the Royal Commission will raise those issues and the social positioning of aged care will absolutely change. So thank you.